You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The currency.news. It pays to be curious.
Welcome to The Tech Agenda, the podcast where we explore the technologies and themes transforming business, the economy, and the world of work. In this episode, we're looking at the rise of AI agents, intelligent systems that can act and make decisions on behalf of humans. A new PwC Ireland survey carried out among nearly 50 Irish business and technology leaders and benchmarked against 300 US executives shows that while Irish organisations are beginning to invest in AI agents, adoption remains limited. The research also highlights a major opportunity and challenge for Ireland. Nearly two-thirds of business leaders believe AI agents will reshape the workplace more than the internet did, yet just 18% are rethinking their operating model as a result. So what's driving this gap between optimism and action? And what needs to happen for AI agents to truly transform Irish business? To unpack the trends, I'm joined by Rob Byrne, Technology Data and AI Partner at PwC Ireland, and Leisha Milan, Director and AI Adoption Lead in PwC Ireland's Workforce Advisory Practice. You're both very, very welcome.
Thanks, Ian.
Rob, I'll start with yourself because I want to get a definition from you. AI agents.
Yeah.
Another buzzword. A big one, potentially massive consequences.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about for people who haven't heard it or who don't truly understand it?
Yeah, I think in its simplest terms, Ian, there's systems that can act independently and perform actions on your behalf.
So answer my emails for me. Or...
Yeah, absolutely. In its simplest form, yeah, absolutely they can. So I suppose some of the, if you think some of the attributes of what makes an agent work, they use AI technology. They can make decisions on your behalf. They can take actions on your behalf. So yeah, you asked for the example about could it check your emails? It can. I think a very good example, and maybe one close to home and looking at the weather outside, I think it's one that a lot of people will relate to actually. There's a, many of your listeners may have a smart heating system at home where you go onto your Nest or one of those solutions. And but what we're seeing now is AI agents plugged into that, plugged into those systems whereby they have the ability to consume the information. So your user preferences, how much, when and what time of the day you want to turn your heating on and off, the usage patterns of your household, the weather outside. And then it can take that information, switch the heating on and off according to what it knows as your preferred heating times and levels, etc. So what do you get from that? You'd get a range of benefits. You get lower cost because you get lower bills. You get a better experience because you don't have the hassle to turn the heating on and off. And you probably get other benefits as well, maybe a better carbon footprint or whatever it may be. So in a very, like an example close to home, that's one that I think showcases it pretty well.
Two points just coming from that you might answer quickly before I come to Leisha. You might talk through the business cases for that. And also, I mean, you know, the systems that you need to have this within your organization. And we're going to come to the survey and the adoption and all of these sort of things. Mm. But the business cases, how it can help businesses and what sort of systems they need in place.
So like the business case for agentic AI, what we're seeing at the moment is, and our clients are coming to us at the moment for our business cases for individual use cases where somebody has seen that there's a particular example, maybe usually in the back office, usually in areas where, and what we're seeing increase are more in Ireland, maybe than in our US counterparts, are cases whereby there's our organizations want to either improve productivity or reduce cost. Okay. And the survey and our experience would bear this out that this seems to be the entry point for a lot of organizations.
So it's either help me do something quicker or help me reduce my cost.
Exactly. More efficiently or reduce cost. But you asked about the business case. The real business case for agentic isn't really on a one-by-one basis. The real business case is, like, if you take the description I've just given you there about, or the definition, and you apply that, just actually the raw transformative power and opportunity it gives organizations is where the benefit lies. And I think increasingly the business cases you're going to see will focus on how do you use agentic to change your operating model, to change whole processes or workflows in your organization, and less about individual use cases.
Okay, that's really interesting. I want to pick up that point with yourself, Leisha. So we're Rob is talking about changing, you know, how businesses operate, those sort of workflows. People might be looking at it and saying, oh my God, it's going to strip out loads of people. You don't think so. And I mean from the workforce, you don't think so.
So it's interesting when you look at AI agents and AI more generally, it's having an impact on the workforce. That's the first thing to say. There's two perspectives I tend to take when I'm thinking about this. And one is looking inside the organization. So what is the impact to the workforce of each organization? And as we see in the survey and we see it in the work that we do, it's around productivity, creativity and increased quality. So people are experiencing the benefits, but it's more at an individual and team level rather than organizationally at this stage. But if we look at the macro level, our PwC AI jobs barometer is showing that jobs are growing in both AI exposed sectors and less AI exposed sectors, albeit more slowly in the more exposed sectors. So we're seeing that growth is continuing. And actually, there's a premium when it comes to AI skills. So there's a real incentive here for people to start adopting, start figuring out what the technology is going to do for them. And to Rob's point, it's less about iteration and it's more about how can we completely transform what we're doing to achieve the outcomes we're looking to achieve. And so it's less about doing the same with less people. It's more about doing more with more.
So it's a positive. It's not, you know, we all hear, I don't want to dwell upon the negativity because it's a positive story. Even reading through this the survey, it's a positive story. This isn't going to be, AI, they're coming after our jobs.
Look, there's a lot of fear out there. And I think the fear comes from that job security concerns. Security is around whether or not the tools are going to do what we expect them to do, whether organisations are going to be here in a number of years' time based on the tools.
But one of the things said that the survey said that it was about mindsets and not technology that was really holding back adoption. You might talk to me about what that looks like in practice.
So if we look at the mindset gap, again, it comes back to fear, but also trust. So if we think about that fear, it is around job security, the accuracy and reliability of the tools, but it's also in the context of uncertainty. So we don't know the impacts that these technologies are going to have now and into the future. But we can obviously guide that based on the decisions and actions that we take today. But there's also an unprecedented speed that we're experiencing in terms of how quickly the technology is evolving. We've gone from talking about general AI tools to talking about AI agents very quickly.
And it's that pace of change, I think. Yeah,
100%. And people feel it. And I think that's where the fear comes from. But on the other side, we have trust. And people currently, there's a lack of trust. We see that gap in the survey results, but people, I think, want to trust the technology. I think people are optimistic about what the technology will be able to do for them. And it's really about the transparency of what we're doing with the technology as well. So I would say transparency and inclusion are the two things that are most important in building that trust. And when I say inclusion, it's about making sure we have people involved that bring different perspectives to the table, not just the same perspective that we're always seeing. I think people are more likely to adopt technologies in areas where they want the technologies to be, but also where they've been involved in developing the technologies.
Rob, Alicia's talked about technology, trust, transformation. When I was reading through the survey that we're discussing here today, I mean, what struck me was that juxtaposition between challenges and opportunity and getting buy-in. When you were reading through the survey and when you were conducting it, what were the key themes that came through for yourself?
I think for me and the survey, what I took most from it is that locally in Ireland, there's great levels of appreciation for the opportunity. There's great levels of excitement for what it may bring. I think the underground practice that we're seeing among Irish firms is maybe a considered and a cautious approach in terms of adoption of the technology. I think people have seen the potential. They're picking their way through AI programs. They are, as I've mentioned, they're executing use cases. They're creating awareness. But what's missing is probably a level, Alicia's touched on it, is a level of pace.
But to that point, people are still playing around with the technologies and lots of companies I speak to are still playing around with it as opposed to fully integrating it into their workflows.
Yeah. I think one of the things we're seeing encouragingly from the survey is a lot of respondents, 70%, said that they're planning to increase their agentic AI budget in the year ahead. I think that's a good bellwether in terms of the level of commitment that firms are placing in this technology, and it supports the enthusiasm and the commentary that we hear around it in terms of a demonstrated commitment and areas that they want to focus in. You spoke about transformation potential. I think over time what we're going to see is organizations taking a broader approach to where they deploy agents in their organization. I think we're going to see, in addition to deploying them more, or in addition to them deploying agents in the back office, you're going to see a greater focus in front office. You're going to see agents deployed to support areas like revenue growth, enabling increases in productivity, risk reduction, driving innovation. And I think when you see organizations,
it's quite all encompassing, isn't it?
It's broad. It really is. And I think that's the trick, though. I think organizations that get that it is broad and actually have a wider focus and a wider ambition in relation to agentic AI, they're the ones that are going to succeed. When we look at high performers, the boxes that they tick are that they're ambitious, that they got multiple objectives, that they focus on the front office and the back office, and that they actually take a transformative lens to agentic as opposed to a use case by use case. And when you look at, as I said, high performers, more of which we see in our US colleagues who seem to be leading the way, those are attributes that we see consistently coming back.
But it comes back to that point around new revenue streams and innovation and looking at things in different ways. So is that one of the first things when a company or a business comes to you to sit down with them and really analyse how this can help them?
Yeah, I think usually when organisations come to us, those aren't the first use cases that spring to mind, actually. Usually the use cases that come to mind are in areas that people are more comfortable with. Like, we all started our AI kind of awareness and journey thinking about using ChatGPT. You mentioned it in your intro. So that, why did we use ChatGPT? Well, we used it to be more productive, to improve our knowledge, but it was personal productivity. So maybe it's a logical starting point for organizations as well when you think about agents and where do you want to start off in your agent journey. But actually, as organizations maybe deploy a few agents, get more comfortable, that's when you start to see them maybe lifting their head a little and saying, no, I'd like to be a bit more ambitious. I want to focus on a few other areas. I want to grow revenue, like I said, increase profitability, drive innovation, and really, yeah, I suppose, have a more expansive view and application of agents within the organisation.
So it's a journey. It's a journey. And Leisha, to that journey, I mean, some of the stats that I found really interesting in the survey, nearly 2/3 of Irish representatives believe that AI agents will reshape the workforce and workplace more than the internet did. I mean, that's a big statement. It's a profound statement. So what when you looked at that, what did you think?
So it is a striking statement. And at the same time, it's not surprising when Rob has mentioned just how broad the potential is for this technology and the disruption that it can have positive to the workforce. If we think about it, agents don't just generate information. They perform goal-oriented tasks autonomously. And to just go into an example, because I think bringing it to life is best, really. If we look at a HR agent, which might sit on top of all of the HR policies in an organisation, rather than what was previously there, which could answer some set questions that people might typically have, repetitive questions, it can answer any questions you have about those policies, and it can tailor it to your specific context. And now it can go even further than that to recognise, well, not just how many annual leave days should you have, but how many leave days do you have based on your role in the organisation? How many have you taken? How many have you scheduled? And with that information, you can decide, well, now I'm going to schedule these three, and it can do that for you, including any approvals that you need to go through, and then it can update the system. So just being able to take that administrative burden, which would have taken a person many
steps. There's a lot of people out there
steps.
Looking. I'm even listening to you going, wow, that'd be brilliant.
And this is just quite a simple example, to be honest, when we think about how it could be deployed. And again, I think we run that risk of looking at existing processes exactly as they are and let's make them better. And I think it is a great place to start. And I think people need to start where they are. But we can completely reimagine the processes that we do and focusing on outcomes and improving experiences.
Just to that, I think the survey also showed that organisations and companies, Leisha, appear less concerned about the people challenges than the technological ones, which kind of struck me and went, are we thinking about this in the right way? Because people are at the core of every company, regardless whether it's a small, medium or large corporation.
So I was really surprised by that statistic and a bit concerned, to be honest, because I think we can underestimate those people challenges. And it may be because the technical challenges are more black and white. They're a bit more obvious. Something needs to work or it doesn't. But when it comes to bringing people on the journey and being able to accept this technology, that takes work. It takes involvement from the beginning, as opposed to we say build it, they won't come. So it's really about making sure that they have been co-creating the solution.
Rob, I just want to come back to yourself. And it comes to that point. Obviously, you need people buy-in at all levels of the organisation. But what needs to happen for AI agents to really transform business models? What should companies be looking at?
There's a couple of foundational things that they have to do, and some of the feedback that we're getting would support that. So if you look at some of the challenges that we know organizations are facing, they need to address these. So challenges around data infrastructure, data governance, integrating solutions with your back office and your legacy applications, addressing security risk and compliance risk. So if you like, they're the start of her 10. But if you're talking about transforming your business, I think the number one thing you could do is move the focus away from thinking about agentic AI on a use case by use case basis and thinking to instead applying it on a workflow basis. So whole areas of your business, how can you deploy agents to transform a particular part of your business, a whole process, a whole business function? And in doing that, I'm certain, what you will see is a multiplier effect, not just use case by use case, but as Leisha has said, a transformative effect on those areas that you're focusing on. I'll give you an example. There's a government client of ours who is seeking to, they run an applications process that citizens partake in, and they are looking to transform this process. And they've acknowledged that if you, again, to the point that Leisha has raised, if you look at it and try and, I suppose, overhaul the existing process with old thinking, you'll get the same results. But instead, what they've asked us to do is look at the process to transform the process, but also understand areas where agentic AI and technology can be used to transform it. So that might be in areas like you asked earlier about, will it answer my emails? But agents can be used in this scenario to understand, to read the submissions as they come in, interpret them, classify them, direct them in a certain way, direct emails back to applicants with clarification questions and so on. And when you look at use cases like that, you can see the true potential of where agents can bring organizations.
And something I've seen with clients, and I think it's even more important now, is when you're setting out to do this, you really need to understand what is the outcome you're looking to achieve and put in place the measurement mechanisms so that you can actually see if you're realizing that. And where previously we would have seen pilots and technologies where you measure during that stage and then you roll out the technology and you're done. When it comes to AI agents, we need to be measuring the entire time to make sure that those benefits are being realized and that there's no unintended consequences as well.
How can organisations, many of whom are fearful, and they're looking at it saying, Jesus, we've moved on so quickly in the last while, do I need to be investing in this? I'm just wondering, how can organisations take a positive, opportunity-led approach to what's going on?
Absolutely. So I think it starts by understanding what are the foundations that you need to put in place in order to look at AI from an ethical and responsible perspective. So what is the governance? What are the compliance mechanisms? Who are the people that are going to be involved? I mentioned having multiple perspectives. I think that's really important. And then being open and transparent and having a two-way dialogue about what you are intending through the use of AI. And then following through. So doing what you say that you're going to do.
Okay. Rob, I just want to ask a question, because Ireland still lags behind the US in adoption and also in ambition. I mean, why do you think that gap exists, and what can we learn from US organisations going forward?
I think we lag in adoption. I actually don't think we lag in ambition. Okay. I think, to be fair to what we've seen, there's excellent comprehension, awareness and pursuit of the opportunity that agentic provides. I think the adoption levels do lag. Only 9% of organizations report widespread adoption of agentic within their organization. Reasons for that, I think we're earlier in our adoption cycle. I've mentioned, I think we're taking a careful and considered approach in terms of trialing the technology, I think we understand the importance of establishing and preserving the trust that our colleagues and our customers have placed in us. I think Irish organisations see the potential, but also see the potential risks of not doing this right. So, and that's the reason for the measured approach. So I don't worry about our ambition. I don't worry about whether we'll get there. I just want us to get there faster.
Okay. And what's positive to see is I think 83% of the respondents are experimenting or in the initial stages of AI agents.
Exactly.
They're the numbers I'm focusing on.
So listen, I'm conscious of time. I'm also conscious that there's a lot of business leaders, C-suite executives and, you know, general employees listening to this podcast. And if there's one thing you'd like them to take from it, what would it be? Alicia, I'll just start with yourself.
So I would say get involved, because the more that you understand what this technology can do, how it's going to do it, the more you're able to join the conversation and influence how it's going to be used. And I think it's, as I said, really important that everyone's using their voice with this.
Rob?
For me, it is be braver. Be braver in terms of what you want to get out of this technology and in your pursuit of it.
And you'll benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely will.
Okay, Rob and Alicia, I'm delighted that you both joined me here today. That's Rob Byrne, Technology Data and AI Partner at PwC Ireland, and Alicia Milan, Director and AI Adoption Lead in PwC Ireland's Workforce Advisory Practice. Delighted to have you both here today.
Thanks for having us, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh. Powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.